in the book of Deuteronomy where Moses gave the people the famous commandment, which is, you know, sometimes you hear the saying or the expression that, oh, the God of the Old Testament was different than the God of the New Testament. No, it was the same God, for God is immutable. He's unchangeable. And through Moses, God gave the Israelites already that primary commandment to love. And they were told, first and foremost, to love God in the Shema Israel, that famous prayer that he gave them in the first reading. Moses gave this to the Israelites, and this is the thing that the Israelites and even the Pharisees prided themselves in having, the phylacteries, and these little boxes of little leather box they tied to their forehead that had this little prayer contained in it, because they were told to wear it on their forehead and to keep it around their wrist as a reminder. So they took Moses' command literally, and they put this little scroll in this little leather box, and they tied it around their forehead as a way to remind them that this was supposed to be first and foremost in their memory, was to love God with their whole heart, with their whole soul, and with their whole strength. Obviously, they did not take it to heart, because just because you tie it to your forehead doesn't mean that you're going to live it out. And the reason why the Israelites weren't able to live it out is because the incarnation had not taken place, and the grace was not given to them as readily after the incarnation. The incarnation of our Lord was really a high point, and it really was when the grace was able to be given in a lot more abundant way. But the commandment was already there. Moses gave it to them already at the very beginning when they left Egypt, and gave them this commandment called the Shema Israel. And our Lord, when he was tested by the Pharisees and by the scribes, repeated that as the first commandment. He gave him he repeated back to this scribe the Shema Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And he added to it something which is, you might say, the superiority of the new law, as our Lord made clear to them, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That the summation of the Ten Commandments that Moses gave the Israelites in the Old Testament is summed up in these two commandments. The first four, or the first three of the Ten Commandments, have to do with loving God. The last seven have to do with loving your neighbor as yourself. And this is the summation of everything. That why we live the commandments is, the essence of them is to show our love for God and our love for our neighbor. And our Lord even later on will say to him, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So the commandments are very important. They are really the litmus test to whether or not we say we love God. You know, you hear a lot of people say, oh, I love God. I love God, but they don't keep his commandments. You know, they think they love God, but they don't go to church on Sunday. They say, well, I can pray to God when I'm out in the woods. Well, that may be true, but God didn't tell you that you're to love him in the woods. You're supposed to first and foremost go to church and give him your due adoration according to the way God has prescribed, not the way you want to. This is where, you know, the whole point is that, like the Ten Commandments, everything has an objective definition. We're not into this relativism where we make it up as we go. It's whatever we want to do. First, we have to please God, and he is the one who sets the standard. He's the one who makes the rules, and we have to follow them. And those rules are not burdensome, as he says, but rather they're where the freedom comes from. To the degree that we live out and live according to the way God has established, we will truly be free. We know that people who don't observe the Ten Commandments and become enslaved to sin are not truly free, even though they may think they're having pleasure doing that. The drunk, you know, the alcoholic who doesn't keep the Ten Commandments, even though he may have a nice, he may have some pleasure for the moment, knows that his life is miserable because he has an attachment and an enslavement to the sin of alcoholism. And so we know that any of those Ten Commandments are rather means to freedom as opposed to binding us. They bind us, if anything, to God. They keep us attached to God and not astray. That we must always keep that in mind. The Ten Commandments are truly the way to freedom, and they keep us most assuredly happy in this life and will keep us happy in the next. The Ten Commandments are not thrown out. Our Lord just shows us that the essence of them is love of God and love of neighbor. We can't say we're loving our neighbor if we're violating the Ten Commandments. And this is where love has been sometimes misinterpreted or defined incorrectly. People today, when they think of love, they think of the emotion and they think of some kind of feeling that is somehow love. Well, that might be one aspect, but love in itself and in its essence is an act of the will to desire the good of the other. And we know that to desire the good, and in this case, supernatural love, to desire the highest good for the other, means that we will not do anything that will violate the Ten Commandments, because that would be contradictory. And so many people today, have abused the word love, and that this is something where we must always remember that love is never in violation of the truth, and that you can't really have compassion or love for anyone if you're not wanting to lead them to the truth and to salvation. This is sometimes the excuse that people who are living in a wrong relationship, living outside of marriage, will say, well, we love one another. Well, that is not exactly true, because if they loved one another, they would not want to lead the other into sin or in violation of the higher law, which is first and foremost to love God. And if someone is leading someone into sin, they are not definitely loving God or them, their partner, their friend. Let us, today, as we reflect on the Ten Commandments and reflect on our Lord's gospel today, remind ourselves of the importance of the Ten Commandments and how they help us to know how we are loving God and that we are loving Him. They are really a good test for us to see if we are truly living out that love that we should have for God and for our neighbor. And especially today, remember and to remind ourselves that God has shown us the example of love. And as St. Maximin Kolbe has said so well in his life, he said, without sacrifice, there is no proof of love. That really, sacrifice, that sacrificial love that Christ shows us, really is the essence of the kind of love that we're called to as Christians. We're called really to give of ourselves, to sacrifice ourselves for God, first and foremost, and to sacrifice ourselves for our neighbor, that we are first and foremost wanting to desire and put God first, and then our neighbor and ourselves last. And if we have that kind of sacrificial love, and we are truly living it out, then we can say that we are loving one another as Christ has loved us. He has given us the example, and it is possible to do, even in the 21st century, we can love one another and God as He has loved us. That's the beauty of the grace that we have received at baptism, that we are able to do something which were not possible to do by ourselves. That with baptism we have received the grace to not only know as God knows, and that is the gift of faith, and we're in this year of faith, the doorway of faith, as Pope Benedict has said, we're able to know God as He knows Himself, and that is a great light to our intellect. But one thing more we're given by baptism, that is to love God as he loves himself. That's the other aspect of charity, that is, it elevates our wills to love not just purely in a human way, but in a divine way. And our Lord gives us that example when he says that, you know, even pagans love those who love themselves. But we can, by the grace of baptism, love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. We can love those, even when those people are persecuting us or are not lovable, we have that grace because of the grace of baptism, that our Lord has given us this great gift to share in his divine life. And that is not only to know him, but also to love as he loves. Not only to love God, but to love our neighbor. And so we ask and thank God for this grace, and we pray that we will truly respond to that grace in our daily life, that we have the ability to love even whether when someone is not lovable. And our Lord has given us already that example because he loved us when we were his enemies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.